They're primitive, they're unpredictable, and they can be deadly. They are Hollywood sequels. The latest, Jurassic Park 3, is stomping its way into theaters. Critic Tom Shales wishes somebody would have stomped on the creators of this movie.
Dinosaurs are getting kind of old, don't you think? You can hardly turn around without bumping into one of the big galoots. The Discovery Channel is running When Dinosaurs Roamed America, a sequel to Walking with Dinosaurs. Tonight, the big attraction on Turner Classic Movies is a restored version of the 1925 silent film The Lost World, about hunting dinosaurs in South America, a prehistoric movie about prehistoric times. And of course, now playing at a theater near nearly everybody is Jurassic Park 3, the unimaginatively titled sequel to Jurassic Park. This time with bigger dinosaurs, faster dinosaurs, toothier dinosaurs, and, the movie's only real inspiration, dinosaurs that fly, pterodactyls and pteranodons and other creatures that don't need terra firma. Jurassic Park 3 isn't a terrible movie because the special effects save it. Some of the illusions are astonishing even after what we saw in the first two films. And more than ever, the human characters are allowed to interact with the big beasties in ways that look entirely convincing. The special effects are not just digitally animated creatures. They're a combination of that, plus giant high-tech puppets and other kinds of modern cinematic wizardry. But unfortunately, no noticeable wizardry went into the script.
Nobody move a muscle.
Lizardry is what carries the picture, not the dreadfully primitive and preposterous story. Here it is in a nutshell, which is where they must have found it. A very stupid pair of parents let their 12-year-old boy go hang gliding off Dinosaur Island with a friend. When they are both lost, the parents trick Sam Neill, who played a cranky paleontologist in the first Jurassic Park, into being their guide on a rescue mission. Now surely they had other better alternatives to conking Mr. Neill on the noggin as they fly over Isla Sorna, the island near Costa Rica, where the first batch of prehistoric party crashers were created. One good thing about the new film is that there is no sign of hammy old Richard Attenborough as John Hammond, the entrepreneur who dreamed up Jurassic Park in the first place. In fact, it looks like the producers were doing what they could to save money on the human cast so they could spend as much as possible on the artificial ones. Out in Hollywood, they can pretty much calculate in their little money-grubbing minds how much a sequel to a sequel is going to gross at the box office, and they can adjust the budget accordingly. So, Jurassic Park 3 has the second-hand aura of a touring roadshow edition of a Broadway musical, if you get my drift. And drift is what the film does, the plot sort of meandering the way the characters do, wandering around this jungle with no particular plan, trying to find a little boy and a way out.
What are they doing?
They're setting up a perimeter to make the place safe. These guys
Mr.
are Curry, good.
Trust me, on this island there is no such thing as safe. We have to get back on that plane.
Will you tell your wife to stop making that noise? That is a very, very bad idea.
Amanda?
Ben!
Amanda, honey, Dr. Grant said that's a bad idea.
What's a bad idea?
They carry no weapons, so they can't shoot any of their aggressive predators. Now, what's the deal there? Were the producers worried about offending people for the ethical treatment of dinosaurs? On and on, Sam Neill's character prattles about how brilliant the raptors were.
All our theories about raptor intelligence, what they were capable of. We weren't even close. They were smart. They were smarter than dolphins or whales. They were smarter than primates.
Oh, they were so smart. They were so clever. They were so much fun at dinner parties. He even says they stood a good chance of being the dominant life force on this planet. Surely this is carrying Raptor Rapture a wee bit too far. Dinosaurs were on the planet for over 100 million years. Did one of them ever write a novel? Did one of them ever fix a leaky toilet? Did a single dinosaur ever learn even one aria from La Traviata? The film is harmed by its don't hurt the dinosaurs policy. It seems wimpy. As for the actors, well, Neill looks absolutely furious about the whole thing, about being in another Jurassic picture. Tia Leone seems frumpy and grumpy. She did a better job of handling a tidal wave in that movie about the asteroid hitting the Earth. Wait, there were a few movies about asteroids hitting the Earth. Well, you know the one. William H. Macy, as her husband, kind of hangs around, waiting for the closing credits to crawl. Alessandro Nivola as Billy is the closest thing to a heartthrob, and for a 12-year-old boy lost in a jungle full of monsters, Trevor Morgan is amazingly unsympathetic. This is one of the film's big problems. You can be awestruck by it, you can be impressed by it, you can even be wowed by it, but chances are you will not become involved in it. There's nothing to involve you. In addition to being enraptured about his favorite dinosaur, Sam Neill is the resident philosopher. Some of the worst things imaginable, he says, have been done with the best intentions.
This is how you make dinosaurs?
Oh, this is how you play God.
Jurassic Park 3 isn't one of the worst things imaginable, but its intentions were lowly. Just make more millions of bucks out of those dinosaurs' hides. Well, they'd better teach the things to sing, play instruments, or do folk dances if they expect anybody to even think about lining up for Jurassic Park 4. It took a meteor to make dinosaurs extinct the first time. This time they may die off just because they wore out their welcome and bored us all to tears. The only way they'll drag me to another one of these things is, well, maybe if it's called Abbott and Costello Meet Tyrannosaurus Rex.
The comments of critic Tom Shales, a columnist for The Washington Post.